basketball is a great sport, but makes a terrible God. That's really what I wrestled down to the ground, is that baseball was a great sport, made a terrible God. I tried my best to make it a God, but God reminded me that it's going to leave you empty.
Welcome to Stories of His Glory, a podcast where coaches, athletes, and partners of FCA share powerful stories of how Jesus Christ is transforming lives through the world of sports. Each episode, you'll hear real stories of people who've experienced the life-changing love of Jesus. Stories that will encourage, challenge, and inspire you to see how God is moving in and through the world of sports and each of our lives. Stories of His Glory podcast is grateful to Copper Dog Waffles and Coffee for their support of FCA and youth athletics. Copper Dog is located on historic Main Street in Mandan, and has the best gourmet waffles and custom coffee drinks. When you go, try my favorite, the Rookie, and definitely try pairing it with one of their amazing coffees. Stop in today for a unique experience, something unlike anything else you'll see in North Dakota. Sweet or savory, there's something for everyone at Copper Dog in Mandan. Welcome to the Stories of His Glory podcast. I'm Ryan Jungling, Area Director with FCA in Bismarck, North Dakota, and today I'm excited to introduce you to Brian Conklin. Brian is the Northland Regional Vice President for FCA, a husband, a father of three, and a former basketball player for the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Listen in as Brian shares the powerful testimony of God's faithfulness in his and his family's lives. Here's my conversation with Brian Conklin. Brian, thanks for joining me today. I'm pumped about this conversation. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, my pleasure. It's awesome to get on here with you, Ryan. My podcast background is just beginning, but my wife has been going strong for years. So yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm going to get to let her know, hey, you can listen to this podcast, and she's going to get to listen to you all the time. No, thank you. But great to be on with you at least here.
It's just cool to be a part of an organization that we can do something like this. And God can use it, I think, in some pretty incredible ways. You know, stories, when we were going through training and I was coming on staff, you get asked the questions in trial training, like, how do you define ministry? And what's your one word definition of ministry? And my one word was stories. And stories are so important in the life of Jesus. But hearing about an individual is like so, like, it just, I think it's so compelling to hear how God has moved in somebody's life. And so I'm excited to hear your story today.
Yeah, well, it's a privilege. As Christians, we all have a story. And, you know, I think God calls us to share that story as a part of carrying out the Great Commission. So it's an honor to have that chance today.
Yeah, so let's kind of start here. Part of Fellowship of Christian Athletes, we're both on staff. And we'll kind of start from back to front. So let's start with, like, Brian Conklin, the athlete, which is, it probably contains a former athlete, as does my story. But think back, what was Brian Conklin, the athlete, like, yeah, when you're in high school or kind of maybe how you got started, but then, like, where did that end up? Let's go start there.
Yeah, well, I'm going to start, you want to start back. I'm going to start with the latest.
Okay.
So you said you're a former athlete. So where I'm at currently, I turned 45 years old and I have not played a game of pickup basketball for well over a decade until the last month.
Okay.
So actually bought a $45 pair of New Balance basketball shoes. I didn't know they make basketball shoes, but I'm rocking these out at 5:30 in the morning on Wednesdays playing some old man basketball. So I will say it is a new adventure, because you ask about what was Brian Conklin, the athlete, like. I'm out there playing and I can hardly remember because it feels that long ago. So it's not pretty, but it's fun to get back out there. But yeah, it's playing sports. God has just used it as a tremendous tool in my life. And, you know, I just think about how, like, the reality is like, I love sports. You know, I grew up in a sport family where we did sports a lot. We thought about sports. We watched sports a lot. We rooted for our favorite Cleveland teams. I grew up in Ohio at that time. And it was always just a super meaningful thing to me. So my sport eventually became basketball. But when I was a kid, I kind of, how God made my heart, at least in the beginning, was to love the sport of baseball. So that's where my sport background began, as I grew up wanting to be a major league baseball player. I mentioned growing up in Ohio, and Ohio was a great place to be a baseball fan because you could wait till about 1 minute before the game, buy a ticket, and show up at the stadium and sit in like the first row. So like from early on, I have memories with that baseball heart following at the time.
Okay, Cleveland, I was going to say. Now,
yeah. Yep. So it's like just very fond memories of that. So, you know, growing up playing baseball, I was a pitcher when I was young and I was a shortstop. As time went on, my body went on as well, kept growing. So I'm 6'11" and there's not too many 6'11" shortstops. So I ended up through high school pitching and playing first base, which is where they kind of stick you if you have that kind of height, but just loved every minute of it. And went on, maybe I'll share this right now. I guess God used baseball in a tremendous way in my life, even as a part of my own story, where like I grew up in a Christian home and heard the gospel at a young age and really believed that I needed Christ as a savior. And that message was so important to me. It changed my life. However, like during those years as a young athlete, I was also engaging in hundreds of hours of doing sport a year, and baseball being that sport. And, you know, it came to a culmination when I was 13 years old. I, again, was hoping I could be a Major League Baseball player. It was actually starting to feel like it was a possibility at a time where, even at that age, I had a few pro scouts that would come to my games and watch me pitch in particular. But it was when I was 13, I went into my windup like I'd done thousands of times before that, and I let go of the ball. The ball goes sailing halfway up the backstop, and I dropped to the ground because I broke my shoulder all the way through by throwing a baseball. And, you know, so like I look back at those years and it was really hard to lose a game that I loved at that age for a time being. But like that was kind of like my first sports ministry experience where God kind of grabbed my attention and reminded me like, hey, baseball is a great game. As the famous Pistol Pete quote, he says, basketball is a great sport, but it makes a terrible God. That's really what I wrestled down to the ground is that baseball was a great sport, made a terrible God. I tried my best to make it a God, but God reminded me that it's going to leave you empty. So, you know, like that sport in particular, God used in an incredible way. It sent me on a different trajectory at that time where I ended up being able to play through high school, but it hurt every time I threw a ball. I started to get more serious about the sport of basketball and ended up playing basketball in college at the University of Nebraska, which was an amazing experience. But yeah, God's gracious to give those experiences and he's taught me a lot through them. I laugh at the word athlete. You ask what kind of athlete I was. I was not the type of athlete that could run and jump. So I don't even know if that really makes me an athlete, but I was highly dependent upon fundamentals and doing some smaller things that helped you get good at something. So it's an interesting
question. Yeah. Wow. So I've seen a pitcher do something similar to what happened to you. I think it was different, but similar. You know, it was something with a spiral fracture in an arm on a pitch. And that's a big deal. First of all, that's a big injury, a tough injury. And I imagine that that was a really huge struggle for you because that was your sport.
Yeah, it was my sport. It was my everything. You know, if I look back honest about it, like I would say I was a Christian. I do believe I was, but I was very immature at that time. It felt like your world just got rocked, you know, when that got taken away. And I realized people have way, way more significant things that happen in life. But when something's really your God and that lets you down, like it has a way of getting your attention, you know? So yeah, it was a challenging time. I can remember like just grateful for my parents, how they kind of walked through this with me. My mom in particular was sharing scripture with me. And I can remember having this conversation at the time about like, is it okay to be mad at God? And I can remember like at that time, like thinking like, again, I was immature, but at the same time, maybe mature enough to go like, I think I might be doing something in this, you know? So as disappointing as it was, I don't think I was ever at a point where I was angry with God. I was just more just broken because something that I love so much was taken away. But God, again, God used it. God used his word to impact me and to allow me to, you know, this many years later, look back and go, thank you, Lord, for allowing that to happen. It's kind of my like first, you know, we're doing FCA. It was kind of like my first sports ministry experience was at that age.
Wow. And that gives you a connection to so many people to be able to go back, even though it was, you're 13 years old at the time. You know, injuries in sports is a common denominator across sport, across all kinds of stuff. But to be able to have that, have those conversations that came from it, for you to be able to recognize, like, God might be doing something in this that's really cool. And I'm sure that God has used that in your time in sports ministry to be able to share that with somebody who just needs that hope.
Yeah. Again, it makes you grateful for it, because you're exactly right. In sports, it's not if you get injured. It's more like when you get injured. So it's, I've heard this just about trials in general, suffering in general. Like, you know, when people are suffering, you want to walk alongside them. But sometimes, like, the worst thing to do when someone's suffering is like to get your favorite book on suffering and hand it to them and say, hey, read this, you know? So like, it becomes a part of your story where, like, you can, you know, hopefully even share that, like, hey, like, hope really isn't found in your sport. Like, sports are fun, but hope comes in one person alone, and that's the person of Jesus Christ, you know, who is the only one that's worth putting hope in. And, you know, like, if you could share that message, you know, with young kids or with coaches that are out there dealing with this stuff, like, when that injury comes, again, hopefully they're more prepared and have a perspective that, yeah, God's in control of everything, even this. And he's going to work for his glory through this. And I don't know. I pray that has been encouraging to people over time. They, again, most certainly will walk through something similar at some point.
Yeah, for sure. So you get into basketball. You have, like you mentioned earlier, a size that fits basketball. And you end up going to Nebraska. How did an Ohio kid end up at University of Nebraska?
Yeah, that's a good question. My kids are like, the age right now where they're like, a couple of them have made college choices. One's in college. And like, I look at them and I look back at my time and I go, I don't know what you're thinking about, you know, when you're that age. I can remember going on a recruiting visit and really liking the arena. And that sounds very shallow, but like, it's a vivid memory. However, like, again, knowing kind of the sovereignty of God and how he's working all these things in his providence, you know, all throughout time, it was really through a relationship that got me to Nebraska. Because I grew up an Ohio State Buckeye fan, and pretty much everyone there is. And I, you know, watching Jimmy Jackson and Chris Gent and Lawrence Funderburk, you probably don't know any of these names. Jimmy Jackson maybe is the one that some people would know, as he had a good NBA career. But like, those were the guys you just watched as a kid and you pretended that you were them when you're shooting on your little Nerf hoop in your basement type of thing. You know, so I went to a camp in high school to Ohio State and got to be on, it was right on St. John's Arena floor. It was just a really cool experience, but began getting recruited by Ohio State at that time. There was a guy named Randy Ayers, who was the head coach, and then an assistant named Randy Roth. You know, as time went on, Ohio State was recruiting me. And just as it was getting towards the time where, you know, if they're going to offer a scholarship, they would, and all that. Randy Ayers took the head coaching job with the Philadelphia 76ers. So Randy Roth, the assistant at that time, and again, the relationship matters, went to the University of Nebraska and was an assistant under a guy named Danny Nee at that time, who had been at Nebraska for a real long time. But it was that move for him that really, you know, I look back at it, it's why I went to Nebraska, you know, because he kept recruiting me. I knew I wanted to play as high of a level as I could. I didn't know if I could, but I knew I wanted to try it, you know, and in Nebraska it was in a very good conference at that time. It was the Big 12 conference, which was typically rated those years right around number one or number two conference in the country. So, you know, a lot of things came together, but ultimately, like, I look back and there's like all these things, again, God's providence, how he's working in like millions of ways in the world all at one time. And like, the answer that I just land on is like, God had me there. You know, he had me there for his purpose and his reasonings. And I maybe didn't understand them all, you know, as a 17, 18 year old kid, when you make that choice, but God did it. And he used it tremendously in my life. It was a tremendous experience. Well, way beyond just basketball. Met my wife, you know, got connected to FCA there. So really grateful for that time.
I think we probably should point out, like, you kind of had a pretty okay career there.
Yeah, I look back at that. There's basically like two things I could do in basketball. I could shoot a basketball and I could pass a basketball. And I had to work my tail off to figure out how to play enough defense to stay on the court. You know, so yeah, God was gracious, gave me a great experience, got to be a part of some, I would say, okay teams, you know, great teammates. We were never a great team. We made it to the third round of the NIT one time, and it was a great experience, but we would always be about just under 500. You needed to be 500 in that conference in order to make the tournament, but he allowed me to be a part of some really cool experiences.
That's so awesome. So what, when you were at Nebraska, I know there's 4 or 5 years from you get hurt and you transition to basketball, but did your injury and realization when you were 13 that baseball is my God, how did that impact basketball when you started to get recruited at a Division I level in a really good conference?
Yeah, it's like anything. I'd say it's a lifelong journey of trying to figure that stuff out, right? It's even after basketball, I felt like God put me on another lifelong journey of trying to figure out basketball. But yeah, certainly it was framed up differently in my mind, you know, going into it, again, still very immature, but knew that I wanted to honor the Lord in my time. I can remember going to a church camp. It was called Operation Good News, where they basically brought high school kids together, would teach them how to share the gospel. You get to go out and actually practice street evangelism. But God used that experience significantly in my senior year of high school. I'd already made the decision that I was going to Nebraska. And I can remember, I wish I had this. I don't have this anymore, but I took a note and I had a question on there and it just said, what would it look like to be a Husker for Christ? And, you know, so I know enough that I was wrestling with it at that age, you know, of what does it look like to glorify God in these years to come? And I can remember during that senior year of high school, spending a lot of time just praying and asking the Lord that when I got there, that he would bring some other believers around me that can encourage me in my walk with Christ. And he did that in a crazy way. My very first night of being on campus in the dorm, I lived on the 10th floor of Harper Hall. Some guy knocked on my door. It wasn't FCA, but it was just a kid. It's not like he was even acting upon efforts of a campus ministry, but he knocks on my door and is like, "Hey, do you want to come to a Bible study down the hall from us?" And it was a vivid, "Lord, you just answered my prayer. Thank you." I've been praying this for a year, and on night number one, that happens. And you know, so God allowed me to get really connected to a really good group of guys that first year in the dorm, aside from FCA, outside of basketball. However, I had a roommate who was a basketball player who eventually started going to that as well. And he actually came to know Christ, which was really cool. So that was happening while at the same time, you know, you're training, you're getting to know your teammates and you're playing. And you're starting to develop a love for these people. And all of a sudden, here comes FCA. It came to me in the way of a staff person named Chris Bubach, but he came to me and said, "Hey, Brian, would you want to study the Bible together?" You know, so before I knew about an FCA huddle or an FCA camp or a Fields of Faith or any of these FCA programs, I knew it as a discipleship relationship with this staff person there. And, you know, that was just life-changing when it came to really making it practical to help me understand hey, what does it look like to glorify God in the midst of playing sports, you know? So I moved from this wrestling with idolatry as a 13-year-old to now wrestling with what does it look like to glorify God yet, you know, and I'm convinced this happens until Christ returns or until we die. We're always going to wrestle with sin, you know? So you're playing in front of 20,000 people and there's reporters at games and there's, you know, just things that happen that it tugs at your heart to kind of pull you back towards that idolatry way. But you know, FCA was, you know, God was kind enough to allow FCA in my life to continue to disciple me, you know, and praise the Lord over time, certainly not perfectly, really started to see basketball as a tool to move the gospel forward and to minister to my teammates. You know, I think about those guys in those locker room that those years, and that was my ministry. That was my mission field. And FCA was a tool that was training me up on how to reach those guys for Christ. And there was other believers that were on the team. So we got to kind of team together to do it. So yeah, it's just crazy to think about how prideful and how much idolatry is involved at 13 years old, and like certainly wrestling with that at times, but like how much of a ministry basketball became, and God used it in just such a cool way like that.
Wow. That's as FCA staff, and I'm actually probably going to turn around and share that little piece of the story in our next staff meeting, because what if we were the ministry that was known not for inviting to an event or a Bible study or a huddle even, you know, but for like, hey, can we just study the Bible together? That's the heart of it, right?
Yeah, it's Christianity 101, right? God calls us to go and make disciples. And even as an FCA staff person, I'll just be honest, like there's times you wrestle with like, who is it that I'm discipling right now? Who is it that I'm being discipled by? Like I'm doing all these programs and we got great things going on where people are hearing about Christ, but just like true one-on-one discipleship, really Jesus's way of raising people up, like, are we doing that? So it's like, yeah, it is. I'm challenged still today, you know, like to go make sure those fundamentals that were going on during those years are still going on in my life right now, because that's really how God works.
Absolutely.
Stories of His Glory is brought to you by North Dakota Fellowship of Christian Athletes, where our mission is to lead every coach and athlete into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ and His church. Across North Dakota, FCA is on the ground in weight rooms, huddles, and classrooms, building up bold leaders of faith through sports and scripture. Whether it's a student athlete discovering Jesus for the first time, or a coach finding strength in community, lives are being changed every season at FCA. Want to be a part of the movement? Visit fcand.org to get involved or support the mission. Now, let's get back to the story.
So maybe we can go back a little bit, and maybe even back before you were even born, because it seems like you had a tremendous faith upbringing. And so can you talk a little bit about that, maybe about your parents? And
love to do that. And I've not always realized just how much power there was in my own personal story. For a long time, I thought I had kind of that story where I grew up in a Christian home. I heard the gospel at a young age, both in the home and at a good Bible preaching church, and became a believer. Like that's a miracle in itself. I'm not saying that is some kind of boring story. Like God took me from death to life. Like that's an amazing thing. But like the older I've gotten, I like have spent time going like, what did it take for me to grow up in a Christian home? So yeah, I've got a brother and sister who are walking with the Lord. I've got a mom and dad that are still both alive and they're walking with the Lord. But like their story, it took God moving them to the country of Luxembourg, where they heard the gospel from Dutch missionaries. And I'm just like blown away by thinking about that. So there's Dutch missionaries that moved to Luxembourg to plant a church and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And that's what it took. When my dad accepted kind of a 2-year job, he was a corporate accountant, they moved him to Luxembourg, and like that's where God saved them. So for me to grow up in a Christian home, holy cow, like what a miracle that God did that work. Even on top of this is like a cool part of the story. But so they come to know Christ in Luxembourg, and then they're like a part of like the initial stages of this church plant there. It ended up being a vibrant church in Luxembourg and still going today. Well, in 2007, I had a little bit of a weird path with FCA, and this goes back to like the wrestling with it. But I'd been on staff for 2 years. I turned down some professional basketball opportunities before that because I just really felt God was leading us to be missionaries through FCA. But like after 2 years on staff, our state director, a guy named Ron Brown, who's a football coach at the University of Nebraska right now, he was kind of in between coaching stints because he was with a part of a staff that had gotten fired and became the state director. Well, when he became the state director, he started teaching us this curriculum that had a big impact on him called the Handbook on Athletic Perfection by an author named Wes Neal. And, you know, like during those years, I'm like, we're teaching this in FCA and it's a tremendous, like really like practical, like here's what it looks like to view sports through God's lens, through looking at what does the Bible have to say about sports versus the world's way. And it led me to go play basketball, like to sign up. I had no idea what that meant, but like my wife and I were both on the same page, like, hey, this would be a good chance to practice like being a Christian athlete and while also just getting to kind of go do something cool here while maybe I still could. So like we hire an agent at that time. I had no idea if this means in America, if it means overseas, and had a couple NBA tryouts that didn't go anywhere, but ended up playing in Germany. And when we moved to Germany, we're on this team again, like cool ministry to teammates and loving the experience. But we're looking for a Bible preaching church at that time. And where we were at in a town called Trier was like right on the border of Luxembourg. And not knowing this, like we look on a website and we're like, okay, there's a bunch of churches that are like museums, but here's a Bible preaching church in Luxembourg. We go to it and realize this is the church that when my parents came to know Christ, that they were a part of planting. And it was just amazing to think about, like, we got to like experience that as a family. They spoke any given Sunday, there was 40 different languages that were spoken at that church. Well, my wife one time served in the nursery, and there was 8 kids in the nursery with 8 moms, and 8 different languages were being spoken. So like thinking about like my story, thinking about, you know, how the Lord saved my parents, thinking about that church and how it was pulling people from all over the world, like it just leaves you in awe of just like how big and how amazing God is. So yeah, it's cool to reflect on that kind of stuff.
Wow. So I Googled it. I was like, Luxembourg, that's really close to Germany. And as you said, Trier, I see it on the map because it's right there. That's wild.
Yeah. And it's totally wild. And again, Europe, you know, like it's a scary thing, but is probably maybe a view of what America might look like here in not too long when it comes to just spiritual life and like lots of church buildings in Germany, but they're literally like roped off. You pay money, you walk through and just admire how beautiful it is. And it's like the saddest thing ever. So having that church in Luxembourg was an amazing gift from God, because in the midst of that experience, not only got to experience like long-term fruit of what happened in my parents' life, but we got to be encouraged in our own walk with Christ because of it. So pretty cool.
How wild that Coach Ron Brown suggests this, you know, it was like, we're going to study this book. It leads you to do that. And you get placed, like sovereignty of God is just like so rich in that. Just amazing. I'm sure your parents absolutely love that part of your testimony.
I think they do. And again, like, hopefully, like, whenever you hear a story, you know, you mentioned story. Whenever you hear a story about God working in any way, you know, like, the reaction for us, it's just so cool. Like, you walk away going, man, I now have a higher view of who God is by hearing a story about one life, you know? And again, you think about, like, the countless ways that he's working those stories, like right now as we're talking, all across the world, all at the same time. Like, he is just so worthy of receiving the glory and our praise. It's just cool to think about even just these stories here.
For sure. Yes. For sure. Absolutely. Wow. That's incredible. Thanks for sharing that story. That's amazing. Yeah. You get connected with Chris when you're in college, right? He's discipling you and you get involved with FCA. How did your involvement, and then you just had said, you know, you spent some time on staff and then you went and played basketball. So take us through that. How did you get to FCA as far as staff right after college? Now you've been on staff, I believe, for 20 years. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think just 21. 21. So I mean, I'm a year older. Even.
21. So that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so grateful for the chance to be a part of FCA. It was actually in college that started. So it started, you know, as being impacted by FCA as a student athlete through that discipleship relationship, got to know the programming side of it, was involved with the leadership team at the school there. And, you know, we just had leadership camp here in the Northland region, and it took me back. It was fun to think about, because really my first camp experience was a leadership camp in FCA. So I got those experiences as a student athlete. It was in my sophomore year of college that Chris had asked, hey, would you consider doing an internship with FCA? And it was like, you know, when he asked me that, I can remember right where I was. We're standing right outside the weight room in the hallway. And, you know, I thought to myself, I'm like, why wouldn't I? Like, why would I turned down an opportunity to explore what God might have in this. That summer was really impactful. And again, I look back at it like it was just more discipleship. It was Chris asking kind of a summer long question for us to, you know, as interns, explore the question, what is the gospel? And getting to wrestle with that all summer. We memorized scripture together. I got in my car and I drove around with him as he was connecting with coaches, and we were connecting with donors, and we were working with volunteers and getting to be a huddle leader at camp. Like, it truly was just kind of like this 30,000 foot view of like, this is what FCA is. So, you know, during that year, really, or that summer, I should say, really started to just feel a tug that like, hey, there might be something to this. Like, when I went to school, like, again, I wanted to be a Major League Baseball player. Once that went away, I wanted to be an NBA basketball player, you know? So like, I was going down that route where, you know, I had no idea if that was going to be an opportunity or not, but was also thinking, if I wasn't going to do that, I want to be a teacher and a coach. It's kind of the closest thing to it that I could think of, stay around the game. That's the route I'm going. But then God used that summer just to make it clear, like, Brian, I do have something different for you. God knows what he's doing. I'm trying to discern if this is it. But, you know, like that calling to FCA came real during that time. I was dating a girl who I knew I wanted to marry and is my wife today. So like, we, even as we were wrestling with that question of like, might God be calling us to it? Like, it's just fun to reflect, like, God used FCA to bring the gospel to my wife. That's where heard about Christ and believed, became born again. So like, together, like, as an unmarried couple, you know, we're thinking about the future, and we both knew that marriage was coming. Like, we both started to have the tug on our heart of going like, yeah, this looks like it's something that is going to be for us here as a future family. So I graduated college, did my student teaching knowing that I wasn't going to be a teacher, but graduated college and went right on staff with FCA. We got married, went on our honeymoon, got back, and like that next week was my first day on staff, which is kind of fun. That just happened with one of our staff people here in the Northland region. So it's cool to look back and go, that's, remember those years. It's a cool place to be. But yeah, now 21 years later, like, God's had us on quite a journey, because we were in Lincoln in Nebraska and covered Southeast Nebraska for those first 2 years. That's when went and played a season of basketball and then moved back. And shortly after moving back, they said, hey, would you consider moving to Omaha and being the director in Omaha? We were honestly really excited about that opportunity. That's where my wife was from and her family was from. It was the next, what would be maybe like 14 years or so, 15 years that God had us in Omaha, serving on staff with FCA and just getting to see him work in tremendous ways. We never thought it would change. You just felt like there was so much work to be done in Omaha that we were just planning on being there forever. It was during COVID. So 2020 comes, like the most hectic time, you know, for so many people, where you get the call that like, hey, like my kids' basketball, I remember that one. They're playing youth basketball, like basketball season. Just, you get the news like school's not happening anymore. We're going to try this remote thing. So like, this is all happening. We're trying to figure out how to get them set up, not going into the office at this point in time, the FCA office, because no one's supposed to leave their home type of thing. It's like during that like initial period of COVID where, I get a call from Rick Isaiah with FCA and says, hey, Brian, would you consider applying for this role? I kind of just was like, yeah, right. You know, like, look at this world right now. It's upside down. And, you know, like very shortly after, it's like, no, thank you. God kept moving. Got a few calls from Chris Bubach, who was my boss, by the way. The same guy that discipled me in college was the state director for Nebraska. And then his boss, Tim Johnson, they said, hey, would you pray about this? Within like a month of like getting that initial call, I'm thinking, yeah, right. We were literally looking at houses in Minneapolis and we were going. So it's been a crazy journey with FCA. We've seen some amazing things that God's led us just get to watch how he's worked in those 21 years. And it's just, it's cool to be a part of.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That time, that COVID time, it just brings back, I left teaching to be a technology trainer on March 11th. and they shut down the state basketball tournament in Bismarck on March, or in Fargo on March 13th. So, like,
right
at that point.
Yeah. So then you had to figure out, what does school look like when everyone's at home?
I was like two hats, trying to teach my class still, because it technically started on, like, you know, July 1 or whatever, but it was definitely an all hands on deck situation. But so you were in Omaha, spent, like you said, like 14 years in Omaha. You must have been the multi-area director or something like that in Omaha. And
yeah, it was like a metro director role.
And I know I've run into some Nebraska people at real time in different places, and they always, you know, are like, oh, Brian, he's just the best. And I would agree, like, it's been awesome to see your leadership. And so I know that definitely God was for sure calling you to the Northland region, and it's been great to, the last, you know, just over 2 years for me to get to know you and those kinds of things. But like, you didn't, for people that don't know FCA, Nebraska and Minnesota, which are real close, are actually in different regions. And so what was that like to leave 15, 16 years of experience in the state of Nebraska? And even though it's not distance-wise a very far move, it's a regional shift. What was that like?
Yeah, it was quite a process, you know. I think, like, one of the biggest things that I had to wrestle with was, like, what does it look like to lead at this level? You know, so, like, God had kind of been baby-stepping, developing me as a leader and giving me amazing experiences in Nebraska. And, like, that was one of the hardest things, is, like, because Chris Bubach, the state director, ever since my college years was so intentional about just growing me in every area, like teaching me the Bible, you know, memorizing scripture with him, teaching me how to pray, teaching me how to do FCA, you know, like I felt like everything I knew about FCA, I knew about because of Chris Bubach. And, like, this was the first time I was wrestling with, like, hey, wait a minute. So when I go there to the Northland, Chris Bubach's not going to, he's not coming with, you know? So, I had moments of anxiousness of just going, can I even do this, you know? And the reality is like, once I got in the role, like, the answer is, like, no. like, Brian Conklin, you can't do this. Like this role is bigger than anybody. Yet, however, what I learned is, like, it can be done through the leadership of the Lord in your life. You know, like, that's what has been, like, one of the biggest things with that change, is just, like, the need to be just absolutely clinging to Christ every single day and allowing the Spirit to lead. Because there's just so many things you don't, like, you're not, no one's qualified for it. You're only qualified to participate in gospel ministry because of what Christ did on the cross, by taking our sin and giving us his righteousness and dying on the cross and taking the penalty for us and raising again, defeating sin and death. Like that's the only thing. That is literally the only thing that qualifies anybody to be a part of gospel ministry, because, like, aside from that, like, you're a dead person, right? So, like, a dead person's not going to add a lot. But through Christ, you have life and you have the Spirit to guide you. That's been, like, the biggest thing, is as you go every day, you got to wake up and go, Lord, I need you to direct this morning. And I just want to follow you in the midst of it. So that's been the number one thing about stepping into this role.
Yeah, for sure. You hit on a number of things, and I think we'll pull a couple of those things out. But that first one of just, like, the daily dependence on Jesus and what he did, like the four bracelet, you know, you look at the symbols of the four bracelet. I was actually just doing a training and we were talking about it. I said, which way do you wear it? Do you look at it because you need it? And that's just the reminder for me, is like, Jesus, I need the gospel today and I need to cling to that, like you were talking about.
Yeah, 100% within arm's reach in my desk at any point in time. I was given this by a friend. Actually, one of my closest friends passed away at 45 years old. We started FCA the same day. I got his picture over here and I got this over here, which, like, marks this guy. But he gave me just this verse packet that's titled on the outside. It says, preach the gospel to yourself every day. And then if you flip inside, it's just nothing but scriptures that would be the means to preach the gospel to yourself every day. And it's just, you like, that's a great thought. Like, do I wear the bracelet out or do I wear it in type of thing? Cause the reality is like, just as much as they need Christ, we need Christ. And it's not just like when I was 7 years old praying the prayer, so to speak, like I needed the gospel then, but I need the gospel just as much right now for the sake of sanctification in my life. It's a cling to Jesus type of thing.
For sure. So you start with FCA and you start as a college student and you're probably what we would say area rep. It might've been that classification at the time. Maybe it wasn't, but
it actually
okay,
was.
There we go.
It hasn't changed at all within FCA. It's always been a rep
and
there.
And so you're doing ministry with coaches, you know, ministry with high school kids, potentially college kids, right? You're like on the ground doing ministry and you move to Omaha and you become a metro director and there's a little less of that. It's more leading a staff and now you're in charge of an entire region. And so what have you found as you've moved further from the day-to-day field ministry? What have you found that you need to make sure to keep that field ministry in front of you?
Totally. Well, that's honestly, like, we live in a culture where like the why is really important. Like you could probably, speaking of podcasts, you could probably, listen to 8 million different podcasts on why the why is important. So I think about the why. And I think about the mission statement of FCA, and I think about those early years. Like I'm a director. I was a director. Now the role that I'm in currently, like I'm those things because I still love the field ministry, right? It's just that like there hit a point when I was a rep, and this made sense to me. And it doesn't have to make sense to everyone because like I don't see FCA as like you get promoted up the ladder. You just play different roles on the team, you know? So it literally every role, if you're an admin, if you're a rep, a director, or the president of FCA, like they're all like equally important. They're just different. So like the only reason I even had the thought of moving to a director role, and that at least for me, that would make sense as part of what God had for me, is like you start to realize like, well, there's way too many coaches and athletes out there for Brian Conklin to go and minister to all of them, you know? So like when I became a director and the idea of building a team of people, like it was really cool to me because it was like that area that I couldn't get to just because of distance or because of just capacity, you know, we're all limited in our capacity. Like you could hire people to go and minister there and build a team. And you know, so like, it's the same thing in my role today. Like I'm still very driven by the opportunity that we have at field as field ministers and even like area rep, like there's tons of ministry that's happening at all these different levels. It just looks different, but where the rubber meets the road is where these coaches are in these schools and running these club teams and, you know, whatever they're doing out there. Like that's why the FCA staffing even exists, so that we could help these volunteers be mobilized all over the place to carry out the Great Commission. So that has been a huge thing, is to like go back to those days and don't forget, you know? So like that's one thing, but one of the ways that I do want to do that, I have a consistent rhythm of that, is making sure like I have an answer to the question of who am I discipling, you know? So like my family is certainly on that list. The direct staff team that I lead is certainly on that list, but like, come school year, I've already got it lined up. Like a coach and I are going to get together and we're going to read the Bible together. And I'm really excited about that, you know, because that reminds me and it takes me back to like, this is why we do what we do, you know, as an organization, because we want to minister to these coaches, then through these coaches to advance the gospel, you know, all across this Northland region. I think we all play just different roles in that, but I almost think I'm more fired up about the mission of FCA and like the heart of FCA today than I've ever been, you know, just end up playing different roles on the team to help carry that out.
Yeah. I think that's really powerful when you talked about how you realized like you couldn't get to everybody. I was a volunteer for 10 years at the high school level. And when Nate presented the idea of an area director, and he wasn't even presenting it, that idea to me to be an area director, he wanted me to be a board member. But when he presented that, and I thought about my time at Mandan High School, and I didn't think, who's reaching the other coaches? And then to think about, well, what would it look like if there was a team that could go do that? That was huge. And so cool that that's the way that FCA is organized and the play that currently is running pretty well, I think, in the Northland.
Yeah, it's going pretty well in your area as well, man. You've been a hiring machine and getting those workers out there. And I just think, you know, just the answered prayer that is, you know, is we're told to pray the Lord of the harvest, you know, that he's going to would send workers. And, you know, and in Christian ministry, like it, the workers are like FCA, the Great Commission, it really is like a God and a people thing. You know, like you don't have to have these programs. You don't have to have fancy things. Like FCA was just kind of built on this premise of like our president talks about a circle on a Bible, you know, like people getting into a circle, they're reading a Bible. But the reality is like you need workers. We need workers as an organization to be able to organize those circles with Bibles that we call huddles, where you have people that are spread all across North Dakota, all across the Northland region as a whole, all across the world, and are just organizing efforts to go carry out discipleship. So it's not really rocket science. You know, it's kind of how it was Jesus' way. You know, it started with the 12 disciples and sends them out two by two. And here we are today. It's just amazing to think about how the kingdom has advanced and that mission has advanced just simply by organizing people to go tell other people about Christ. I mean, that's at its root. That's what this is.
For sure. I think that there's a lot of value in what you've just shared at like the heart of FCA. I know that I would love it if somebody's first interaction with FCA is exactly what yours was with an FCA staff person, right? Like, let's read the Bible together, because that's the central thing to everything that we do is study God's word and hold scripture high. So I think as we start to wrap up, I think it might be interesting because as a region, we have grown quite a bit over the last couple of years. And let's say that there's a new staff person that's listening to this conversation. And, you know, Brian, as 21-year veteran of FCA, what advice would you give new staff person?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, one thing I would say is stay humble. I think about 21 years, like God's been kind to give like all kinds of different experiences in that 21 years. But I pray today that at 21 years that I can wake up every day going, Lord, teach me how you want me to do this. And even have a mentality of like wanting to learn and stay hungry to learn from others. So I would say that that's key. I would say above all things, your relationship with Christ is what matters most. Like it's just a reality. Like if your heart's not right, if you don't have an intimacy with your relationship with Christ, like you're going to be dry when you're out there, you know, sharing good news. Like that good news has to be good news to you if you're going to be sharing it with others. So like that has got to be critical, like just the tending of your own heart and allowing the Lord to work with you is critical. It's also like this mentality of like, I love talking about this with our teams, like give it away. Like as, you know, as God gives vision to come on staff with FCA, like one of my favorite things that we get to do as a ministry is just like set up these volunteers to understand how to take FCA and go use it in their sphere of influence. Like I always remember this one volunteer that I worked with. They were a hockey family. They used to say like, Brian, why isn't FCA at the hockey rink? And at this time we weren't at the hockey rink. And I said, I don't know, probably because Brian Conklin knows nothing about hockey. Like God gave me a baseball heart. He gave me a basketball body. He gave me all these things. I know nothing about hockey. But like Ross and Denise Scholes did, they had relationships. It made no sense for me to be the one to go into that hockey rink and try to win all these people for Christ. It made a whole bunch of sense for Ross and Denise Scholes, who were not FCA staff, but had a heart to team with the FCA mission to go while they're already at the rink and be equipped to carry out just gospel ministry. And it like kickstarted all these things that were just incredible. And, you know, lots of kids and coaches coming to know Christ. So I always think like that's kind of a hidden privilege that we have as FCA staff is like joining the team knowing you get to set other people up. you know, and in a way where they get to go and do the ministry. So it has a huge multiplication type of effect there.
Wow. That's amazing. That's, you know, when you learn about, when you come on staff with FCA and you learn about the sport environments and stuff like that, and you're like, well, maybe I'll need that. And then all of a sudden a kid, and this happened to me last year, a kid was at one of our middle school huddles, said, hey, I race cars and I would love to have an FCA sticker on our car. How do we go about that? And well, I don't know, but I know somebody who does. And so having a conversation with Danita about motorsports, and it's just so cool that we have that ability to reach into sports that, like you said, I know nothing about racing.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, again, like the beautiful thing about that is like no FCA staff person can take the credit for anything. You know, like what that does, it just, you just walk away going, praise the Lord. You know, like God created sports. He's allowed this just cool intersection of sports and Christ to like be a tremendous way of bringing the gospel to people and making disciples. And so you just walk away and go, you know, like you probably took your ministry plan and you were very strategic about what you were going to do this next year. I'm guessing motorsports wasn't on it. That, you know, helping that kid understand what does it look like to be a witness for Christ when they're at the track wasn't on it. But at the end of the day, like, praise the Lord, because God did that. It's just, again, high view of God and a proper view of who we are. You get to see that within FCA. You get to live that within FCA so many times where you realize this is the Lord that's working this here.
For sure. Well, anything else in your mind you want to talk about?
Well, I'd say this, man, I'm grateful for you. I just think about our team in the Northland. Like, we have an amazing group of people that are passionate about serving the Lord. We couldn't do this without people like you and the work you're doing right now. Like, it's amazing to sit back and watch how God has taken an area where not a lot was going on, and now a whole bunch is going on, and disciples are being made, and people are coming to know Christ, and stickers are going on race cars. You know, like, there's all kinds of things happening. So I'm just super grateful for you.
Yeah. And, you know, like you said, God's the one that does it. He gets credit for it all. Like, just a random conversation, or what we see as random, right? What we see as a text from somebody that's like, hey, I hear some things are going on. Can we have coffee? Yeah, let's do that. That would be great. Yeah. So
that's pretty amazing.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks for listening to Stories of His Glory. If today's episode encouraged you, we'd love for you to share it with a teammate, coach, or friend. Be sure to follow or subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss future stories of how Jesus is transforming lives through the world of sports.
Thanks again for being part of Stories of His Glory. If today's episode inspired you, take a moment to share it and be sure to follow or subscribe so you won't miss what's coming next. Psalm 96:3 reminds us to declare His glory among the nations, His wondrous works among all peoples. The field is yours. Now go glorify Him.